Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 178. Fill me up. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you for tuning in to another brand new Purple Pants Podcast. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever podcasts are available. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. Woo, baby, it was giving a hot one. A heat wave has hit the country and it's giving hot. I hope that you guys are keeping yourself hydrated, keeping that cup filled up with water, because baby, it was giving too hot to handle. And I'm not talking the reality dating show, okay? It was giving too hot for me to do anything. People was like, hey, let's go outside. No, I'm in the air in my bed watching TV. Leave me alone. It's too hot. You get up, you start sweating. But listen, I live for a nice, warm, hot summer day. I mean, it hit better when you at the beach or the pool. But yes, you know, I just love the summertime. Y'all know summertime. But I have a photo shoot coming up this week, and so I had to do some scouting for areas where I could, you know, take my little photos. You know, it's all in the details. And so I had went to a section of Fairmount Park, in which in the Philadelphia area, Fairmount Park is the biggest park in the city. It's really kind of like the biggest city park in North America. And I have like this little trail that I always run on. And, you know, I was just like scouting out different spots. And as I was on my hike, I was like, you know what? There is this like hidden secret watering hole called Devil's Pool. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just hike over there. It's about a 4-mile hike. And baby, when I tell y'all, I was so surprised when I got to Devil's Pool. Baby, it was giving club Devil's Pool. There were so many different people out there, young, old, and there is this cliff where you can dive or jump off the cliff and into the water. And where the water is at that particular section in the creek, it's deep. And so, baby, I just was not ready. People had their hookahs out. They had their grills out. The music was jamming. I had just originally just tended to hike there to see if I could possibly like shoot there. But baby, when I got there, it was giving a party. And I love these hidden gems in the cities or any city that you live in. I'm sure there are hidden gems that not a lot of people know, but if you know, you know. And I was just telling my sister that, you know, the city of Philadelphia, when you watch the news, there's so many killings, so many robberies, so many like negative press. And I feel like these hidden gems aren't highlighted enough. It was a diverse mix of people, young, old. You know, some people was out there with the little herbals, music, their kids. And everyone was just getting along. Like, I just happened to be like standing, sitting there. A group of people was like, hey, you want to sit? We got an open chair if you want to sit. Because clearly I'm just standing there awkwardly because I just hiked there and I wasn't expected to see all of these people. But it was just such a fun time. And I just encourage everybody to like get out your comfort zone. Take a walk by yourself. Go explore your city. There are so much fun things to do. But sometimes we get trapped in our own mind, in our own heads, staying in the house watching Netflix, which you know I love to do. But sometimes it's really great to get out. So, you know, baby boy had a fun, active weekend while I tried to keep my cup filled up because it was hot. It was hot, you know, staying hydrated. Also, it's so important during these times when we have these heat waves to check on your elderly family members, your neighbors, your friends. Sometimes you think everyone's okay, but, you know, it could be 102 degrees and a family member could be sitting in their home with the windows up and a box fan on, and that's not good. So, you know, just check on your family members, check on your friends, check on your neighbors, be a good person and ensure that they okay. Bring them a bottle of water, make sure their windows is open because it's too hot. You got to check on your loved ones. But I'm really excited for this week's episode. We got the church announcements, and yes, P-Valley is back. They took a week off, but we got the gang together. Dr. Sharia Lloyd from Survivor China, Chappelle from RHAP, Nothing But Netflix is here, and we are breaking down this really great episode. We have not done a Purple Pants promotions in a while, so I'm so excited to have the creator of the brand SNP, Strive and Prosper, Justin Tiff, here to give the posse the rundown on his brand SNP and why he created it. And of course, you know, we got the church announcements. I already said that, but you know, I meant the freak of the week. So listen, let's get into these church announcements. And on this week's church announcements, I just want to make sure the posse knows that the Challenge Breakdown Episode 3 is available. You can listen to it on the Purple Pants podcast, or you can head over to the Wendell Holland YouTube channel and check out our videos. This week, we had Dominic Abate on the breakdown. And listen, we had to break it all the way down because, listen, it was given a very not the greatest end of the time. And he was able to come on the podcast, answered all of the questions, took accountability, and gave us some inside tea on the challenge. So if you have not checked out the challenge breakdown yet, you better do yourself a favor and fill it up and get into it. The challenge breakdown.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week. Last week, Stars said, pause, take a break, see y'all next week. And I said, what in the devil? This ain't the NBA. This is not what's going on here. But I am excited to be back this week. P-Valley has released episode 7, Jackson. And listen, I mean, it's not giving Jackson 5. It might be giving Jackson 3 because everyone is here. I'd like to formally welcome back to the podcast my sister, my friend, my survivor, my cut up buddy, Dr. Sharia Lloyd. What it do?
What it do? The band is back together.
We is back together. Okay, it's giving DC3 after the Say My Name video. Okay, so I'd like to formally welcome back to the podcast Latavia Brandon Chappelle.
Wow. How did I end up being Latavia? I thought I was at least Latoya Luckett. I couldn't even be. Babe, I'm just torn in between the two. Right, exactly.
Because I really want to be with you.
I'm listen, just saying.
Brandon, I mean, sorry, Chappelle, do what's not get me in you? My feelings.
Okay. Well, I think this episode might be exactly what it needs to get you your feelings, Bryce. It was a lot.
So listen, y'all know I like to talk, but this episode was very triggering for me. So I have a lot to say from my perspective. So I need my sis, Riri. I need her perspective. I need Latavia, Latoya, Michelle, I need your perspective.
Farrah, yeah.
But did you get your luggage?
I'm
did
here.
You get your luggage?
Whoa.
Justice for Farrah. She ain't doing nothing to deserve that. But okay.
God. That was a good one.
Okay, you know what? I think we need to go back to just having two people because it's too much. I can tell.
Wow.
I feel like it's giving a lot. But listen, we're here, episode 7, Jackson. It starts off, it's giving very Diana Ross. It's giving very much The Supremes. It's giving very much Ernestine. She living her best life. And when I'm watching this, I'm like, is this a dream? Is this a flashback? Or is somebody high? Like those were the three things that like popped into my mind. And we see grandmother Ernestine singing, and she is looking vibrant, beautiful. And we get to see a flashback essentially of the start of the pink. And throughout this series of the season, I feel like we've seen a lot. We've seen a whole episode of Keyshawn, and we've seen a lot of like going back. And for me, this was like the missing piece of the puzzle. Why Uncle Clifford is so invested in the pink, because it's not just the pink for him. This is like where he grew up. This is where his granddaddy used to come after essentially being a slave, drinking corn liquor. This is like, you know, so for me, I really enjoyed seeing Grandmom Ernestine, her perspective and seeing her on that stage.
Yeah, it was a nice flashback, I think, to give us a little history of the pink, because it also shows you why Uncle Clifford is so tied to the pink.
Yeah, and I mean, there's probably no shock to nobody that Uncle Cliff grew up in the club, right? Like Grandma Ernestine. Right. And, you know, it's interesting because she's been around sex work and like nightclubs her whole life, too. Right. And so mm-hmm. Uncle Cliff is almost like, this is like his heritage. This is part of his history, is being a part of all of this stuff, whether it was the people who were, you know, slipping money to each other, the dancing, the music. This is what built Uncle Cliff. Now, did y'all mm-hmm. notice that Uncle Cliff has basically been Uncle Cliff since he was
a baby?
Yes. why is that child's name Uncle?
I want to make some context why that was his nickname at that young age.
Right. Okay, because ain't nobody coming around calling me Uncle Bryce when I'm 4. Okay.
He was born an uncle. It happens. It's ghetto, but it happens.
It's ghetto.
The one thing what I took away from Ernestine singing was it didn't always start off as a strip club. And hearing Uncle Cliff when he is talking to Autumn, because he's meeting Autumn here in this moment. But the thing that I took away was the start of the pink was really kind of like the plate, like the, what's the word that I want to use? It's like the taboo place. Mm-hmm. It was always the taboo place for Black people when Black just freed slaves, but still be working on the plantation. They needed a place to go, and it was the speakeasy. And mm-hmm. you've seen the evolution of Grandmom Ernestine's, her hair, you know, went from curly, went from pro. And it started off as like a speakeasy, just liquor. Then it started off as like a pool hall. Then it started off as like all these like taboo things in the Black community. And here we are in 2000, the 2020s, and the taboo place now is a strip club. But I really enjoyed seeing the evolution of the pink and how it's always been this like hot topic, this place that like, should you go? Should I not go? Is this legal? Is this not legal?
Yeah, and it's cool though. I like that they have the pink and giving it like different layers, because that's what the show has been doing from jump, right? It's been taking you know, sex workers and strippers and people who, you know, might sell drugs and stuff like that, and then painting them in a light that's like, okay, they're more than just that one aspect of them. And so the pink is very much more than a strip club. It's a home for a lot of people. It's a safe haven. It's just a pillar of the community, and it always has been. But man, seeing Loretta Devine up there on stage again, like the original dream girl that she is. That was really dope. I love this scene.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree too. And it shows you the different people in the community that are there. So whether it's still taboo or not for strip clubs, right? You see everybody.
Everyone.
Everybody.
And mm-hmm. although Loretta Devine is the original dream girl, she has been in countless movies. For me, the quintessential wordage of Loretta Devine is, I'm cooking cornbread, cabbage, and yo, oh, yeah, okay, oh, you're leaving? Oh, I hope he's not watching me walk away. Oh, Lord. Wait, her role in Waiting to Exhale for me.
Everything.
Oh.
Everything.
Everything. So listen, if you have not, maybe if Chappelle and I start our black movie series up again, maybe Waiting for Exhale should be on there.
Right. On the list.
Yeah. Doc, you can join us. You know, we got a good little system going right now. So I wouldn't be mad at talking about Waiting to Exhale.
Listen.
Invitation accepted.
Okay. It's giving, because I'm trying to figure out, why does it hurt so bad? But speaking of talking, in this moment, Cliff is meeting Autumn, and I feel like finally the conversation, finally the resolution, finally the understanding of Clifford and Autumn that we need. And they're meeting, and Cliff is like, listen, we ain't been talking for weeks, and I'm not here for it. What's the tea, girl? And she's essentially saying, I've always had intentions to sell it. And I think that you know that. Mm-hmm. And I understand your hold on it. But listen, I want to do your ancestors justice. I want to do the pink justice and get its worth. And we didn't think that they would offer any of us more than 10,000. I just got an offer from the promised land for 5 million. And Uncle Cliff grabbed his pearls like, 5 million? Mm-hmm. And Autumn says, I didn't take it because I want to get its worth, 10 million. And at least I feel like we have Autumn being honest and saying, bitch, I was never trying to keep this shit, okay?
And she has said that many times, and she stayed true to that and the amount that she wants.
And the amount that she wants. And it's also like, Uncle Cliff, you need to come to grips with, she's in the right, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. Where else you gonna get, if she's selling for 10 million, 3.5 million? Like, Uncle Cliff, wake up.
Yeah.
And I like to see this conversation between Uncle Cliff and Autumn, because it's like, as a viewer, I'm just like, F Autumn, I'm tired of her. She's doing this wrong. But at the same time, let somebody offer me $9,000 for my $3,000 car.
Listen. Mm. So.
Yeah. It's yours. It's yours. So. I get the smell out of it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's yours. And so at least I like the fact that we have this like understanding.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Then we flash forward back, or not flash forward, but we get to Terica and Mercedes. Woo! Now, what I will say about, and what I've been saying this whole time of us watching P-Valley is, and we know that they've taken a year and a half off due to the pandemic. And we've said, coming back on the first episode, I love the realization that the Pink brings. Like, you know, we went through COVID. They are very much so speaking about COVID right now. Now, would they have the wherewithal to know that Roe versus Wade would be overturned?
But I do like that they kind of touched on, you know, giving her the decision. She was like, this is your body, you know,
your, what do you want to do? Right. And we see that clearly Mercedes wants Terrica to abort the child for all intensive purposes to give Terrica an option. And we see this between Mercedes and Reverend Woodbine, that Mercedes never had the option.
Right.
Although Reverend Woodbine was not the greatest mother, but she took a stance. And whether or not, you know, us all having parents, us all having black parents, when we're growing up, if, you know, our mom is saying, don't wear yellow today, wear black, we gonna be like, well, why the hell can't I wear yellow? And then 20 years later, we might have some trauma to the color yellow because we just never had that option to wear yellow.
Right.
And yeah. We go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to point out that you're right. The option is a very important thing about this whole episode, because even though this episode was written before, like you said, Roe v. Wade was overturned, like, this is a hot topic in the community right now because it's in the news and it just happened and all that other stuff. But even years ago, this was still conversations that were really being had. And it's like, yeah, it's cool to push it to the front of the narrative now for TV purposes or whatever. But this was written before that. Mm-hmm. So they already wanted to talk about the idea of choice and what it means to be able to make a decision like this for yourself. And throughout this episode, we see that everybody is not equipped to make this decision. I mean, at 14 years old, it's clear that Terrica does not know what the hell she's talking about.
Absolutely. I love, though, that Mercedes is like, you can tell she's so hesitant. She's like, I do not want her to go through what I went through, but I want her to make the decision for herself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that, and like, I mean, you keep saying that. She's like, I don't want it, but she lets her make a decision.
And what even I love more about that, Riri, is that in history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. And Mercedes continues to relive her experience with her mother. And how many times have we gotten slapped in the face by our mom and been like, grab your shorter?
Well, you know what's also funny about that? It's all the things about, like she said, when I have a child, I'm never going to do this,
I'm
right? It's
never.
All these things that you say, I'm never going to do, or I'm never going to be like. And every day, listen, I tell my mother, I'm like, Mavis, I am turning into you. Slowly but surely.
Yeah, it's like that. And, you know, again, Terrica being so young, it's easy to say that, because Mercedes even says, I said that too when I was your age. Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, Mercedes was getting the business from Pastor Woodbine. Like, yeah. Okay. And so, so she makes a change for the better to say, I'm not going to do you like how my mama did you, how did me or whatever. But then Terrica's looking at Mercedes like, well, I'm not going to do you like how you did me. It's like, right. Yeah, well, nobody's perfect. And that these young parents be trying to figure it out. Like, there's no manual to how to be a parent of a child when you are 14, 15, 16 years old, hell, 30. So, you know, by now it's just apparent that, you know, Terrica does not see the big picture, that these people are trying. It doesn't always turn out great, but all you can do is try your best.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And to Terrica, to Terrica's defense, her being a child of, I mean, I don't know if we would say like in the foster care system, but her being a child not raised by her biological mother, and, you know, she has all the things that she wants. Clearly, she's living in an upper middle class world. You know, she has the life. And from Terrica's own mouth, the only one thing that she ever really wanted was, I don't know if it's the love, I don't know if it's the acceptance, or just the sheer presence of her mother.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of the times in the black community, we see this from the opposite end of, like, people yearning and wanting for their father. And, you know, the dad, you know, you hear the deadbeat dad and all the excuses of like, oh, you don't know what your mother's family did to me. And it's like, just the child, all the child doesn't know all of that. The child doesn't understand the dynamics of that. All the child knows is that, like, my father isn't there. All the child knows is that, like, Mercedes, you're my mom. You might be a stripper. You might have been 14. They might have told you that you could never have me. But all I know is that at eighth grade dance, you wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the Terica and Mercedes storyline is just, there's so many depths to it. And I love, like, the ebb and flow that we get throughout this episode of it, because it's just so relatable. Mother, daughter, father, son, parent, yeah. pet. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, yes, pet, because you know, are your dogs, your cats, like, yeah, it's a lot for me. And then we get to see Lil Murda. It's Murda. And he is in the home and he is on the couch crying, mourning the death of one of his loves, Big T, RIP to Big T. And we see Grandmom Ernestine upstairs going through COVID. And I just like to say, just want to point out that, like, they deal with COVID different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, Bryce? Tell me about it.
I'm just saying, Grandmom Ernestine got the COVID and
they all little, in the room.
And, okay, mm-hmm. little homicide, little Murda, you know, whooping up some food, sitting on the bed. You know, like, just right next to her. And he ain't even double mask. And he ain't even got the NH9 mask. He got the the Poppy Store mask. but we see a very intimate moment of Little Murda and Grandmom Ernestine, where Cliff is out handling business and he left Murda to care for his grandmother and he's cooking for her. And, you know, she like, oh, I don't want to eat. I had that food clip for me. I don't want that. He like, I whipped you up something special. And she's like, oh, you better be careful. This old bitch might want to keep you around. And he like, well, Grandma Ernestine, I'm always here. She's like, I'm not the bitch that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Uncle Cliff can't cook. We found that out on this episode. Like, let's just talk about it. Chicken and dressing. You can't make chicken and dressing, Uncle Cliff. Really?
Apparently not.
Yeah, but Lil Murda made smothered pork chops, candy yams, collard greens, and cornbread.
Mm.
I'm just saying, she's making good points here. Keep them around. There's some good
boy,
food.
Boy, we had a time. We had a time last night. And yeah, I love first of all, I just love Grandma Ernestine's character. Like, she might have lived a life, she might have been a lounge singer, but she loved her Uncle Clifford and the relationship that she has with Uncle Clifford. Like, she might be, I don't know how old she's supposed to be in this series, but she might be blind, she might be going through a lot, but she's with it. She gets it. She gets all the nuances. Like, she understands the relationship between Lil Murda and Cliff, and I love it. And Cliff comes home from the meeting and he doesn't see Lil Murda on the couch. He's like, where's my grandmother? He goes upstairs and we finally get the interaction that I have been waiting for 7 episodes for. And it is one interesting one that, you know, Grandma Ernestine is asleep. Then they enter or make their way into Uncle Cliff's lair, as Little Murda says, and he's like, I'd be so lucky to finally make it here. And Uncle Cliff like, bish, you here? And what I love is that it seems like Uncle Cliff seems to de-weaponize Little Murda. And wait, Brandon, what's Little Murda's real name?
That's LaMarcus.
LaMarcus. Okay. Hey, Reaver, you hear how ready he is with his names?
Mm-hmm. That's LaMarcus. Mm-hmm. Chef Boy Negro. Is that what you call it? Yeah.
And I feel like when LaMarcus is with Uncle Cliff, it's not Little Murda. It's LaMarcus. And we get into a lot of these conversations. And one of the conversations is, as they're like playing around and talking, he asks Uncle Cliff, like, what are you, or like, how do you mm-hmm. identify? Or, and that can be such a triggering question to someone in the Uncle Cliff's realm, because it's like, are you really asking that? Because I can't just like explain it to you. But at the same time, it's like, you have this ninja that is in this space where I feel like a lot of queer people, a lot of like, we want this. We want this conversation. Like, we want to, but it never comes exactly when you want it. So it's like, well, what in the hell? Like, how do we get here? But I just this interaction between them of like trying to understand and trying to get it, for me, it's just like, whew, just very real life scenario for me. So I'm curious to hear what y'all take on this interaction was.
Well, I'm happy that they finally had this moment. I think most importantly, right? This is something, like you said, we've been waiting 7 episodes for this. They've been waiting too. So I'm happy they had that. I do think that it was interesting though that Lil Murda asked Uncle Clifford that question. But when you think about it, it's like they still have so much learning to do about each other. And they haven't really had all of those open and honest conversations. And I think that was a point where it was like, you know what? I'm going to ask, you know, and he's being vulnerable himself, because even Uncle Clipper said, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you?
That's
so
bad.
Yeah. So at the same time, it's kind of like he was a little bit offended about the question. But, you know, I think it was an opening moment for Lil Murda too. Like, you know, he knows who he is, but do I know who I am?
Right. And it's crazy too, because Uncle Cliff immediately like calls that out. He's like, I am literally what you see is what you get. It is me. Mm-hmm. This is what you see. And I don't have to explain myself to anybody because I know who I am. Right. been a whole ass uncle since he was four.
Right.
And so
that's when I gagged, because he was like, look at this Gucci bag. And mind you, when Ernestine Gucci was bag. Singing in the club, right. And they showed that little image of that baby, he had that bag around him.
3-year-old Gucci bag. Yeah, it was an old Gucci. It really was. Uncle Clifford getting a little long in the tooth, but he still held on to it. But yeah, there was so many cool things from this scene. Definitely that moment with the, like, well, what are you know, the Lil Murda, because he can't be who he is, you know, for whatever he's trying to do in life.
He says that. He says, and when Uncle Cliff directly asks him that question, he says, I'm what the world won't let me be. And again, now y'all, please stop me when I go long-winded, but for me, who has had real life dealing with men that are not comfortable with what they like, these conversations just can be, they make me mad. And at the same time, they also, like, I feel like I want to give you grace, because I know what my journey as like a gay black man has been. And that's just like, you know, me being myself, I can't imagine what it's like for someone that doesn't automatically get that title of, oh, you gay on you, and for you to come to that realm. But, and again, another very significant moment for me was when, now what's his name? Devontae?
Who?
LeVert? What's Lil Murda's name?
Who was you talking
LeVert?
About this time? LaMarcus?
LaMarcus.
Lord, I was over here like, wait, is somebody else?
Sorry.
Just call that man Lil Homicide and move on.
Lil Homicide. But, you know, when LaMarcus says, I'm like, you know, what the world won't let me to be, and then he immediately goes to idolizing Cliff, like, you know, you were able to live in your life, you were able to do this, and then, Uncle Cliff says something that was like so profound to me that, I mean, I instantly started crying, and I don't want to be like a crybaby, but Uncle Cliff says something to the effect of that, what people don't understand, that I am lonely, and he was saying something to the effect that, like, when your light shines so bright, how lonely it can be.
Felt that? You felt that? While you're taking a beat, why do you think that it can be so offensive to ask, like, who are you? What are you? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't, I'm trying to think of it from both sides. If you don't ask, we won't know.
Right. But I feel like it's, I don't think that it's more offensive. It's more of a loaded question. I think it's more of, are you ready to go down the road that this conversation leads?
Right.
Because Uncle Cliff's not perfect by any means.
Yeah.
But nor is LaMarcus. And again, if we are, and for, for me, as someone who can more identify with an Uncle Cliff in these type of situations, for me, what the scary thing about going down this road is that we will then ultimately get to the point where I am saying I'm where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And I can't tolerate anything else, or mm-hmm. I can't tolerate anything less than what I deserve. Mm-hmm. And LaMarcus might be at that point where it's like, I understand, I love you, but I can't give you what you deserve right now. And so at the same time, why Uncle Cliff is saying, when your light shines so bright, people might look up to you. Oh, yes, we love Uncle Cliff. You're you. But they don't understand at times like how lonely it can be, because who's standing next to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's a lot to take in, Bryce. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah.
And it's the difference of knowing yourself and being unsure of yourself, too. And I think that's the reaction, why the reaction could be different for different people.
And knowing your worth.
Yeah.
And knowing if you know your worth, then you know what you can't settle for. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you might want to pretend like you don't know your worth so that you can settle for a LaMarcus. Because it can be a lot. And so I feel like, let me just pause my microphone real quick, because I don't want to get my emotions all in this. Give me 2 seconds. Okay. I'm back. But it just can be a lot. Because I don't identify as an Uncle Cliff, but when I tell you I have had a LaMarcus, I've had a Malik, I've had a Brahim.
Okay,
I've
Bryce. This list so long. Jesus Christ. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, Bryce, no, thank you for being vulnerable too. Yes. On the Propans podcast, you often talk about this kind of stuff, and it's really cool to hear you open up. But also, I know you probably are see how powerful it is to have it on TV, so it's like if you're, for a lot of listeners, you're the one telling us these stories. So now you got this amazing show on Stars doing the same thing, I also saw on, is it on BET, they got that new College Hill Celebrity Edition, yes. Right? And they were talking to Big Frida. And it was about Big Frida and Slim Thug were having a conversation, and Slim Thug basically said, what are you? And Big Frida was able to say, I'm gender fluid. I don't have a pronoun. And for me, it depends on who I'm with. If I'm mm-hmm. with my bros, I'm the bros. If I'm with the girls, I'm the girls. I'm the sister. If I'm to my niece and my nephew, what do you say? Auntie, or something like that. Uncle, auntie. Yeah. But Big Frida was able to put that on television as well. And so I think it's a mark of how far we've come as a society to where these conversations are being had. Mm-hmm. There's people talking about them on podcasts, but it's also on TV shows. And people are being more open with this. So I really appreciate Bryce, you for sharing, but also this show for letting us have these conversations.
I agree, because you know what? When I'm watching some of these shows, even like P-Valley, and you think about yourself and what you grew up watching and knowing, right? And you were only exposed to certain things. And so it's even a level of adjustment for me sometimes, this is what we're doing on TV now, right? But it's only because that's not what I'm used to seeing all the time. And so this is for everyone else who has never seen themselves in this, right? Just like as Black people, there are a lot of things we never saw ourselves in, right? And so it's good that people have that outlet now to be able to showcase other elements of who they are. We can have these discussions and be vulnerable on these podcasts. So I agree. I'm loving it too. And I'm loving what I'm seeing, just the open relationships and people being vulnerable, especially men. We don't get that a lot.
Yeah, because even the conversations between Uncle Cliff and Lil Murda get kind of cool, right? So sometimes, for one, we found out that Lil Murda's been here all week, and this is the first time he's been in Uncle Cliff's bed. Now, I would have thought that would have already happened by now.
That. You downstairs.
But still, I assumed he had been up there too.
Yeah, it's like, this has been 5 days and you just now seeing what the room looked like. I was like, okay, y'all taking it slow. But when they get in there, Lil Murda's like, so how are things going with Haley? And, Uncle Cliff does his whole Haley, Lakeisha, Robin, Rihanna, Fenty, he's going in. But, they're having the conversation. And this is probably one of the first times we've had an in-depth conversation between the two of them in episode, probably 10 episodes maybe. Mm-hmm. It was a fun one to watch, even though it got into some deep subject matter. I really did enjoy this scene.
I agree.
Yeah, and it also makes me think just about in my family, and again, I'm a Black man and all I know is my Black family. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think about how as Black people we respond to death. I feel we've all, I don't know everyone's personal situation or how close you have been to death. But I feel like in my own personal experience, I've been very close to death, seen it. And I feel like as a little murder, I feel like it's a wake up call. It's like, you know, it makes you want to change some things. It makes you want to see a lot of different things. It makes you think about the world differently. And we've clearly seen that little murder has just witnessed a lover, a friend, a homie commit suicide right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot. So I also, were you about to say something, Bree?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I don't think personally I've been close to death in that sense. But what I have is, in the last couple of years, you know, I had never really experienced death from someone so close to me as I have in the last several years. And so to think to be an adult at my age and never have really experienced it, you know, How do I deal with it? I don't know. I take it day by day, right?
Right.
But even to think about how would I deal with someone in the situation of, you know, someone I love or best friend taking their life or me wanting to do any of those things too. You know, sometimes you just don't know until that moment happens. And we all deal with death in just different ways.
Yeah, and another thing now, mind you, I don't want to get too personal, but again, it's the Purple Pants podcast. We do see there's a scene where little LaMarcus and Uncle Cliff are having this moment. Then they hear this noise and Grandma Ernestine is missing. Where is she at? She done left the house. And they are chasing her down. They find her down by the Mississippi River. And she wants to go into the river to be with her daughter, who we know is Uncle Cliff's mother. And in the beginning of the episode, when she is singing, and someone is saying, like, you can hang it up now, it's time to rest, we can then assume that that's Uncle Cliff's mom. And so we get this glimpse of Grandma Ernestine very close to death. They get her back to the home and they call the ambulance. Now, another thing about this ambulance scene for me was that, like, they're allegedly in an urban area. The ambulance is there. First of all, let a siren be on my block right now. I'm getting a cup.
Grab
and
your robe.
I'm sitting on my step.
Grab your robe. Yeah. Grab your robe. We about to go outside.
What's going on? I, like, you know, I'm the neighborhood. I was just like, well, where are the neighbors?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we know Dr. Lloyd probably doesn't experience that right now in Atlanta, Georgia, because she lives in a very gated community. So,
very fancy.
You know, ain't no ambulance or police rolling up in that gated community.
Don't get it twisted. They rolling up outside. I can hear
okay,
it.
Okay, outside the gate. So you can't hear it.
Buzz me in.
Right.
I didn't follow the ambulance here trying to see what's going on. Buzz me in.
Okay. Riri over in that condo, let's just not forget. But one thing that, again, I feel like at times when people become close to death, and maybe Brandon, you can speak to this, is that sometimes I feel like there are a lot of different emotions. And sometimes I feel like as Black men, a way to like pacify that emotion of like extreme sadness or close to death, sometimes it gets very sexual. Sometimes, like, you know, hitting a home run out the ballpark might relieve some of the tension that you are feeling in these very extreme and what should be sad moments. And I think that we see that with Uncle Cliff after Grandma Ernestine goes to the hospital. All of a sudden, Lil Murder becomes Lil Cisco. Mm-hmm. And that thong, the thong, thong, thong. But I want to just be very clear and giving the writers and giving stars and giving just everyone involved with P-Valley for this moment of, there are a lot of gay Black male sex scenes that I have seen on TV, mm-hmm. that I've seen on this show. But I have to just say, I loved the fact that right before Uncle Cliff and LaMarcus got intimate, Uncle Cliff grabbed that condom. LaMarcus said no. Uncle Cliff said no. What I'm saying is that no, we need this.
Yes.
Now, I would have loved more conversation, and I would have loved to see Uncle Cliff still put the condom on, but I love the fact that
at least it was mentioned.
That it was mentioned, mm-hmm. and not even like, you know how sometimes they like to like just slyly mention it. No, Uncle Cliff said, I'm talking negative results. Because again, in this realm of Black queer people, we are at a very higher rate of HIV, and I think that it's very taboo that it does not get talked about, it doesn't get mentioned, and when we see these sex scenes on these type of shows, it's never talked about. So for me, I just made a huge note that they even brought up the subject, and I love that, because more conversations need to be had, because again, there are other queer people fantasizing and romanticizing these love scenes, you know, like, and they're not showing that, and we see the result with Terrica ending up pregnant, and so I think that it's important to just be very vigilant and very direct in the community that, like, whatever your sexuality is, wrap it the fuck up, okay?
I stand by that. I will just also say I'm learning a lot about sex, even at my age, you know, this season with the show. I'm here for it. Wrap it up. I'm with you on that. Like, we got to have these conversations. You got to be direct. You got to be honest about it. I don't care if it's in the moment or not. You got protection or
you
no?
Have, listen, protect yourself and
you could
cover your ears, Latavia, real quick.
Well, hold on, Bryce.
Okay, go
ahead. I want to put a pin in this conversation about the condom. You ready?
Okay.
Here's what. Are you familiar with
the condom?
Oh no! And the conversation about the condom, Bryce. We ain't trying to trap nobody. So. You're familiar with, though, the principle of Chekhov's gun, right? Like, that in a story, every detail should serve a purpose in its overall narrative, right? So, like you show somebody with a condom, you say, oh, they're going to put the condom on. That means that they are being safe. But if you show somebody not put a condom on, that means that they are being unsafe, which means there's room in the story for now things to go awry with the condom. Like, so if this is Mercedes and the coach is like, should I use a condom? And Mercedes is like, no, I don't think so. We asking the question, is Mercedes going to end up pregnant? Right? Because that is a possibility when you have unprotected sex. Because they flagged this moment and chose not to use the condom, do you think that we could lead to some deeper conversations about what happens when you potentially do not do that?
1,000%.
Yes.
1,000%. Now, I want to say that, and again, here's, thank you for drawing this to my attention, because, like, I was going to breeze over this, but in my recollection is Little Murder is saying that he good, but I'm trying to think, like,
I almost said the N-word. People don't be getting tested, right? You didn't get tested, sir. We didn't see that.
Okay, I'm trying to. Did I see the condom go on your penis?
Right.
And also, like, being an HIV advocate, people don't understand that sometimes it can take up to 6 months for it to you, if you are positive or they are in your blood system, to show up. So you might have a interaction that you're nervous about, and then the next week you get a test and it comes back negative, and you're like, whew, I'm good. But no, baby, you need to go for 6 months consecutively to ensure that. So again, I feel like them mentioning this is great, because it opens the door for conversation. However, the simple act of it is risky, but is it real life? Well, probably yes.
So do we think there's going to be negative outcome from this?
I don't even want to go down that road. However, if we were to go down that road, it would be realistic. And I think that a lot of people could learn from it. Okay. So I wouldn't be mad at it. But for me, being selfish, I don't want to go down that road. I want to, like, give me the storytell romanticist that you give the cisgender ninjas.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, but at the same time, that's real life. And again, in Atlanta, and I don't know how we got here, but in Atlanta, Sharia, the HIV rate in Black gay men
is high.
1 in 2.
Wow.
In DC, 1 in 2. In Philadelphia, 1 in 3. So again, let those numbers sink in. Like, that is... That's a lot.
It's a lot, and it's scary.
Yeah, and so
you do have to. I'm with you. Like, I would. maybe though it needs to be some deeper conversation that needs to happen following this. Hopefully not negative consequences for it, but at the same time, it's people have life. To see that exactly what's happening every day.
Right. A dialogue for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so like there's something that really bothers me about TV shows sometimes is that they don't take care of the people that they put in the show. Mm-hmm. Like you really put your main character through the ringer, you know, like, and it's like, I had that issue with Lovecraft Country in different areas where I'm like, bruh, like, we get it. Yeah, like these people are down bad, but like, come on, get your foot off their necks a little bit, you know? Yeah.
Right.
And not like in a storytelling way, but just like it gets deeply personal sometimes. And a story like this, to where you are so connected to the main character and this love story, and like we've seen so much loss. Do we really want to explore a conversation about HIV in a negative sense? Where, you know, like, mm-hmm. where someone actually contracts it in a situation like Lil Murda and Uncle Cliff's are? Like, I don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. But I do right. think that there's probably a way you could have the conversation and talk about how realistic it is that Lil Murda just was with somebody the other day right. and did not get tested without actually having Uncle Cliff or Lil Murda have to be victim to that. But I don't think it would be responsible to leave this at this. I think you do continue the conversation a little bit, even if it's subtle, yeah, but right. you still let them have their love story because you Absolutely. Don't have to put them through all of that. I don't think so.
And like the thing about we're in 2022, what HIV and AIDS looks like today is not the same as what it looked yeah. like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a death sentence 15 years ago. Today, it's not that. And again, I always try to use my platform as a Black gay man to advocate for things like that, because like, I have friends that are dealing with this. I know what it looks like up close, and mm-hmm. it's not what it's like. It's not what it was like 10 years ago. However, at the same time, it doesn't mean that you don't protect yourself. And we've come a long way. They have PrEP. There's a lot of just different things that can be said, just like the morning after pill. They've got pills like that. You can go on like, so it's a lot, but I'm just happy that I am able to have this conversation on this podcast, because there are so many people that don't know about it or do not know how risky mm-hmm. at times being in this lifestyle can be. And then not just for me, I just read a report today that cisgender, like men and women, HIV rates have surpassed the gay rates, like, you know, like this affects everybody. This ain't just like a gay disease. And so I would love just more topic on the subject, because I feel like it's important. But again, I don't want to like wrap this all in that. But that's again,
okay. The message is be responsible. Yes,
be responsible with Cisco, Lil Murt, whoever it is.
Protect yourself and those that you are with as well.
Yes, but Amen. I'm just grateful to be able to have this conversation with y'all, and I just appreciate y'all allowing me to like take this moment to talk about it. Because
of course,
I appreciate it. We get Haley. Hmm. Now she wanted to be giving Mother Teresa.
Okay, giving advice and stuff.
Boo, she pop I hate up it.
On Keyshawn, but here she pop up on Keyshawn at the grocery store with Derek. Now, not Derek, like, not a moon pie. Oh my God. Like, Derek, get out my face.
We got to wrap. That's what needs to be wrapped up, Derek.
And mm-hmm. Andre.
Oh, yes.
double back for Andre every time.
Both of them. But now yeah. all of a sudden, we see Haley checking in on Keyshawn. And she pops up her at the grocery store, and she sees Keyshawn's face, and she's like, I see you didn't use the gun that I gave you. And Keyshawn's like, I can't. It's all of this, all of that. And then she even pops up at Keyshawn's home. And Derek like, who you? And she's like, oh, I'm a friend of a friend of a friend. And she's like, I brought a gift for the baby. She's talking to Keyshawn, and she's grabbing her Keyshawn's child. And she tells a story. Now, earlier in the episode, when Autumn was talking to Uncle Cliff, she mentioned her child and how in the relish of her getting away from her abuser, she lost her child. Mm-hmm. And when she is at Keyshawn's house, she tells this lullaby to her Keyshawn's baby, and essentially that, you know, she was with this big bad wolf, but she kept her tears in a bag. fake. And when the bag finally released, it flooded. However, the baby couldn't swim, but the mother could. So essentially, like, she waited too long because she had so many tears and again, abuse. And you can understand or place in what she's meaning by tears in this story. And she gives Keyshawn a phone and it's like, you know, when you're ready, but don't wait too long. And again, I thought like, okay, here y'all go trying to humanize Haley. We understand that she's a mother that lost her a child. She was an abused woman. You know, she does have a story. I think the fact of our lack of empathy for Haley is because we just don't know who the fuck she is.
Right. Jesus. That's who needs an episode where we take it back to see where she came from.
Where you came from. But we see her offering this like olive branch to Keyshawn. But again, the show has made me so jaded that I feel like I don't trust your generosity.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, that's a good point. Because the show, that's why I say I wanted to complain. Because the show finally got
me.
Just yelling into the ether right now. But like the show finally got me because I hate Autumn. But in this episode, I was like, okay, maybe I don't hate Autumn. But then the moment you said it, Bryce, you said, I can't trust it. I'm like, yeah, I hate her again. Because here's the thing. She's rescuing Keyshawn, which you would think would be something that somebody who's went through abuse, like that would be a natural thing that person might want to do. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I've experienced this and I want to help you because I don't want you to fall into the same stuff that I fell into. Gotcha. Makes sense. But then you tell me that Autumn is a business owner. And she's a smart business owner. And Keyshawn is the hottest stripper in the South right now. Mm-hmm. It's Autumn trying to use his burner phone.
And who recently died?
Right. Don't. And people. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So now is Autumn trying to scoop up her next Mercedes? You know, like, is she going back to go get Mississippi back into the club so that they can start to rebuild the pink? Because she already talked about it.
Yep.
She sacrificed the money that she had for her daughter to get the pink, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she sacrificed all that stuff. And so it feels like she wants to, like, to take ownership of the pink in that way. But also, if you want the pink to be successful, it doesn't hurt to get Keyshawn on your roster.
Absolutely.
So right. Now I can't trust her and I hate her again.
That's actually what I thought she was going to be saying when they ran into each other.
Like, come back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, I didn't even peep it because I'm telling you, they got me this time. I was really like, oh, look at Autumn trying to be a normal human. But now I'm like, if she asks her to come back to the club, I might flip the table. So I don't know.
But also, you got to realize Autumn won't have no home to go to. So, you know, she just perused the free store.
She's just trying to get a roommate. You know
what? That's why she out and about in everybody's business.
Like, escape.
Right.
Yeah, if Keyshawn escaped, me and Keyshawn could get an apartment together. Mm-hmm. And then we good. Like, yep. Oh, okay. See, that's what I'm talking about. You can't trust these light-skinned women.
And this is why I don't trust the Autumn. Girl, all that money, girl, you giving me a Nokia?
Okay. It was a burner phone.
No.
Not the Nokia. You took it back.
Girl, what Keyshawn supposed to play Snake with her kids?
And Pong.
I was confused by it, but again, and listen, so y'all know I go on the Twitters. Y'all know I be like, you know, I be like, and what so I went on the Twitter this morning because I was up at 4:45 watching this, and someone said death comes in threes.
Well, we got two down, right?
We had technically one, Rome. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put Grandmom Ernestine in nowhere she ain't supposed to be. But if Grandmom Ernestine is possibly two, then could it be Derek?
Wait. But what about Teak?
Oh, yeah.
See, I skipped Rome. I forgot about Rome.
Okay.
I was like,
so wait,
he don't count.
I'm here for this math because that means Grandmom Ernestine doesn't die.
Exactly. If that's because we've already got our three.
Right. So Tink, man, Rome, and could it be Derek? All F boys.
That would be nice. That'd be nice. A clean sweep.
F boys.
I could put my rose colored glasses on for this one, but realistically speaking, I think we might have seen the last of Grandma Ernestine getting into the ambulance.
Yeah, she on the way out.
It sounded like she was ready to go, but also it's COVID. I know Dr. Lloyd said that she lost somebody during the pandemic, and so did I've lost a few people in the last 2 years, like to the point where when I lost one of my best friends in the height of the pandemic to where you couldn't go to the hospital.
Right.
So I didn't go to, I wasn't able to visit them in the hospital, and I wasn't able to visit them. I didn't go to the funeral. There was no funeral. And so like, I think when Lil Murda is telling Uncle Cliff to tell Grandma Ernestine goodbye, he's saying, tell her goodbye.
Yeah. And right. And that's what she was saying. She was like, if I leave, I'm not coming back.
Mm-hmm. She was ready.
Yeah. I think she was ready, Bryce.
Yeah, I mean, no, I, but again, is Uncle Clifford ready?
No, he's definitely not ready.
Hey, man, are you ever ready?
Right. Can you be ready?
Right.
I mean, and so again, I feel like if we talk in trauma bonding, is this going to push Little Murder and Uncle Cliff together? Now, mind you, last and final scene, and one thing, another thing that I am very happy that P-Valley is talking about and showing is that y'all might perceive Uncle Cliff one way, you might perceive Lil Murda another way, but I'm sure you saw and heard Lil Murda say, fill me up.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Don't sleep on the flamboyance. Don't sleep on the listen. And again, I just, that is a very real representation. I'll leave it at that. But the next morning, I thought was very endearing moment where I don't know what they were saying to each other, but from what I grasped from the entertainment was that Little Murda was still not ready to like be open. Mm-hmm. And I think Uncle Cliff was like, don't worry about that. Only when you're ready.
So you're saying he's giving him a little more time?
I think he's giving him a little more time. And I think that at time, that's all we really want is for people to, like, again, we know what it's like. I'm sure Uncle Cliff knows what his experience was like. So I'm sure he can have empathy for Little Murder and in this experiment, and especially in the sense of like how he is presented and what the world won't allow him to be. But you know, when you are ready, but I'm not talking forever. It's like them people that are engaged for 20 years. Huh. You know, I think it's like that same premise. Like, okay, I'm gonna let you put the ring on my finger, but this ain't a 7-year thing. This ain't a 4-year thing. This, like,
well, time is of the essence, honey.
Time is of the essence.
Mm-hmm. I don't need another body. You know, not to make this a little ratchet, but you know, it's ratchet just a piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper, y'all. It's, you know, y'all be together. Y'all know what y'all are. What you mean?
I mean,
live your life.
I mean, yeah, but they don't like, you don't always want to leave your life behind closed doors.
Hurry up. You know, watching them together, it's kind of like there's so much going on in this small town, just in these people's lives, right? Like, so imagine Lil Murda is dealing with all of this, right? He just lost like a ex-lover, friend, or whatever. He's trying to make it in the music business. He's got this identity thing going on with him. He's seemingly in love with Uncle Cliff as well. He's helping Uncle Cliff deal with the loss of his potential loss of his grandma in a time where COVID and there's so much uncertainty with that. He also is dealing with we saw like a lot of the protests with the police shootings, yes, and stuff like that. There's so much going
and
on.
Also,
and we're like,
wait. There's another thing. Riri from last week, where the hell is Lil Murda's home? Is he homeless?
He's
5 days
getting homeless. That's why Uncle Clifford said you'll be here another night.
He did say that.
you spent the whole day in Big T car before he died. Where is your home?
He doesn't have one.
Okay.
So look, so this homeless man is dealing with all this stuff. and we're like, you know, for the sake of TV, you know, like, hey, get it together so you can have this love story. But honestly, life is more complicated than that. And so I think if you look at the show holistically, it's really covering a lot. And then and all of this stuff informs how we act, right? So like, he's just not like one person dealing with one crisis. He's dealing with so much, and each of them are, right? And so, yeah, we always got to extend some more grace, but you got to protect your peace at the end of the day. Like, you can extend so much grace to other people that you overextend and you don't have anything else for yourself. Exactly. So hopefully he gets it together, because Uncle Cliff gonna have to take that L if he don't.
Let's see what happens. He gave him a little nicky and now he's like, you can have more time. Fill me up.
You can stay. You ain't going nowhere.
Shabba.
Fill me up.
Bryce, if you name this episode, fill me up. I swear to God.
I think that's the name of this podcast.
OMG.
But listen, y'all, I am so excited that Destiny's Child DC3 Destiny Fulfilled has returned this week. It was giving a lot. We lost Chappelle and Chuckalisa. Okay.
Yeah. I'm back, baby.
Riri was down to Mississippi with her phone. Okay. Listen, it was giving a lot. Listen, we came back. We came back for the reopening of the Pink. And I am so grateful. So my fingers are crossed. I don't even want to tell the Purple Pants Posse that all three of us will be back next week.
It's my birthday week. Next Sunday's my birthday, guys.
So listen. Hey. So listen. Riri, next week, fill us up. Okay. Yeah.
Can I get filled up?
You know what? I can't cut the tape. Listen.
Cut the tape. Cut the cameras.
Turn the mic off.
I can't. Listen.
Cameras, dead ass.
Respectfully and safely, fill it up. Hey. This has been your Purple Pants Podcast episode 7 recap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Purple pants promotion. Purple pants promotion. Purple pants promotion. Purple pants promotion.
It's a purple pants. It's a purple pants. It's a purple pants promotion.
Promotion. Purple pants.
It's a
purple pants promotion. Purple pants promotion.
And we are back this week. It's been a while since I have done a Purple Pants promotions, but I recently discovered an online shop that I felt like resonated with the purpose of Purple Pants promotions. So I'm really excited to do this segment. So let me just stop talking. And I came across an Instagram shop called SNP, otherwise known as Strive and Prosper. And the creator of the brand reached out to me, asked if they can come on the Purple Pants podcast. And you know me, it's all about growth and creation and making connections. So I'm so excited to welcome to the podcast Justin Tiff, the creator of SNP, aka Strive and Prosper. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Bryce. Thank you for inviting me on to the Purple Pants podcast. I really appreciate it.
Of course, we're excited to have you. So, of course, we want to know, like, Strive and Prosper, like, what is the brand SNP?
Okay, so the brand SNP, it stands for Strive and Prosper. Like you said, it was created last year. And basically, the brand just stands for it's like you got goals. So you're striving to make them goals. But, like, you know, when you put that work in, and doing what you got to do, you're going to prosper in the end, because that's like the way the universe works. You put in that work and the universe will reward you. So strive and prosper, because you're striving to be greater and I will prosper to be greater. You know what I'm saying?
No, I love that. I always say to my listeners, and I always just say to myself that I'm on a road to a better Bryce. I feel like I have started off on the road and I am striving to get to a place where I can prosper. So for me, the meaning of the brand really rings home a lot to me. What are the type of items that Strive and Prosper currently has?
So the brand has, I have trucker hats, I have socks, I have flip-flops or sandals, I have shorts, and I have hoodies and jackets.
Okay.
And I'm working on a few shades. I'm working on a few shades designs, so you're going to have shades.
Shade, we clearly hear this accent, so it's giving like down south. Shades as in like sunglasses, or
yeah,
shades
like sunglasses.
As in like bish stop throwing shade. Because I mean, if you sell a bish stop throwing shade, I'd like to buy a lot of it.
No, we're not throwing no shade over here. No,
okay.
Only thing we blocking is the shade with these sunglasses that will be dropping. So the S&P sunglasses or shades, wherever you from.
So I appreciate it. So where are you from?
Originally Philadelphia, but I lived half my life in, well, a little bit more than half my life in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm currently living in Atlanta, Georgia right now.
Wow, Philadelphia, that's a great connection. I'm from Philly. My family roots are in Philly. So shout out to Philly. What got you into wanting to start this? I don't want to say clothing company. So I guess I'll say a lifestyle brand. Like what like were that. Your inspirations of this lifestyle brand of S&P, Strive and Prosper?
So I started the brand because a few years ago, I got shot 10 times and I was paralyzed. Yeah, I was paralyzed doing that. So I just going through that.
So you were shot 10 times and paralyzed.
Correct. That's correct. I was shot 10 times. My right leg was paralyzed. So I was in a wheelchair for a little bit.
So you say a little bit. Are you no longer in a wheelchair?
No, I'm no longer in a wheelchair now. I'm like walking. So I went through like all the equipment from like wheelchairs, the like walkers, forearm crutches, canes. I went through that whole process. So I'm currently walking now. So yeah, it's been a journey. You know what I'm saying?
No, but definitely. You've definitely been striving. What, and the inception of this brand, you're saying, was thought of during that time of when you were shot and your right leg was paralyzed?
Yeah, but it was more so like just going through that whole like situation. I told myself I wanted to try things that I always wanted to try because you only live once, and that right there showed me. So I always wanted to start a brand. So it's like, I know better time than just like start it. So I was coming up with the idea and designs, but like I fully like got into it like last year. So it's been a process, just this whole, you know, it's like starting a brand, but it's finally here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that that's an incredible story to be, and I don't even know the right terminology. So please like correct me or please set me straight. So, because I just can't get over the fact like you were shot 10 times and you were paralyzed. And to my understanding, I always felt like if someone were to be paralyzed, I always felt like that was a permanent situation. So you were able to fill in the blank for me here, because I am just flabbergasted. I did not know that. And that's so encouraging. But I for me, it just makes me want to know more of your story. Like,
yeah. So like when it comes to like being paralyzed, there's like two different types. Like they have incomplete and complete. So I was an my injury was an incomplete T12. So with the incomplete means it's just like I have a chance to be in able to walk. While versus complete means like it's, I don't want to say you don't have no chance, but it's just a harder, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just the percentages are a little lower. So I don't want to say it's impossible. It's just the percentages are lower. So I had it incomplete. So I still had like feeling in my legs as well. So with that being said, it was, my percentages were a little higher to be able to walk. So it was just like just going through that whole process. I learned about just it being like different types, you know?
No, for sure. But I would even imagine that if I were shot 10 times and they're telling me I'm incomplete, I don't even know if I will believe that. Like with you going through your recovery and them, and with you learning about complete or incomplete, did you ever think during that, like, that process, or even like your darkest time, did you ever feel like you would be able to walk again?
I'm be honest. In the beginning, no, I didn't think, because like when I first found out, like the doctor, he didn't tell me, but he told my mom and my aunt, like, yo, like he might not have a chance. Like, I don't think he's gonna have a chance to walk. But then, like when I got transferred, so that shit hit me hard because it was just like, damn, like. I had to live my life in a wheelchair, the whole my life in a wheelchair, like when I'm used to one thing. But it was just like, it was hard, you know what I'm saying? It was hard to take in. So I went through a lot, just like emotionally, like mentally. And just like when I got transferred to another rehabilitation center, they was like, when they was reviewing my injury and everything, they Like, the doctor there was like, nah, man, you got a chance, like, because you got an incomplete, because at first they thought it was a complete, but then when he really looked at it, it was like, incomplete. Nah, you got a chance. So when I heard that, it was just like, I just worked my ass off. You know what I'm saying?
What can I ask, like, during those moments when you were told it was complete or you didn't know, like, what was the light at the end of the tunnel for you? Like, what was the thing that kept you working towards, and what was working towards? I mean, I have so many questions. And so, again, please excuse if my ignorance, because
I'm not good.
Like, what do you think your motivation was towards working towards being able to recover from this?
My motivation was, I got a great support system. So I want to thank my family, because they was there, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they was there to, like, for me, like, during that time. So I was fortunate, because some people I'd have met in rehab, like, just been in different rehab centers, and they don't have nobody. So I was fortunate, like, I had to have that, you know, that encouragement, that push, you know? So I appreciated that. And then just also just, like, for myself, because, like, I didn't want to just, like, live my life, you know what I'm saying, in a wheelchair. Like, I just didn't want to do that. Like,
right.
Especially if I knew I was going to have a chance. I want to, like, nah, yo. Like, I just wasn't going for it. So I just worked my ass off, like, in order, like to be able to, like, walk again. So if I went to therapy, it hurt. I still was pushing through, like, you know what I'm saying? Because I was not trying to be in a wheelchair. So, but I'm was fortunate, like during my times in the wheelchair, like, it taught me things. So, like, I wouldn't take that whole process for, like for nothing. I wouldn't take the whole process for granted, because I learned a lot just going through the whole process.
When you say you learned things, like, what are some things that you learned or that you were, because I would imagine that, there are a lot of times in people's lives that you know maybe aren't in this situation, but I could imagine there are times, I think of, like, professional football players where they want to be on the field, but the coach sits them down. There Right. might be people that want to go for a position, they go for a position, but they don't get it, and they're sat down. So it's almost like you're benched in that sense. What were some of the things that you feel personally that you've learned during that time when you were in a wheelchair or when you were not walking?
I learned empathy, develop empathy. Like, that was one. Just forget.
Can you elaborate on that?
Just like just, it's bigger. It's not just me. Like, it's not just about me. It's just about everyone. It's about just loving and caring, just everybody I met, because everybody I met during that whole process, from our family, CNAs, to, like, my nurses, like, they was all there for me, like, and they was like, if I needed to talk, like, they, because, you know, like, your family can't make it all the time, so it's just like, your mom need her, like, my mom was, I was fortunate to have my mom with me, like, part of their process, just, like, being in the hospital with me, but, you know, she needed her time to herself. Like, cause she was going through a lot. So, like, just being able to have, like, my nurses and, like, being able to talk to them and just, like, just talking to other people in my different rehab centers, and just seeing, like, yo, they got it way worse than I. Like, I think I got it bad, but they may have got it worse than me, and they still pushing, they still positive, they still grateful, you know what I'm saying? Just for, like just being alive and being here. So it just made me look at life a little bit different, and then just, like, just being able to just not be so, like, being able to, like, let, being able to express some of my emotions, like, just, you know, sometimes right. It's kind of hard.
So you were saying to be able to not be, and then you stopped, not be so what?
Not be so, like, I want to say not be so, not be so scared to, like, express my emotions and how I feel, bro. Because, like, during that time, like, I went through blood, sweat, and tears. I got a tattooed on me because I shed tears during that process. I was, you know what I'm saying?
Prior to this, do you feel like you weren't able to express your feelings or express, like, your emotions?
I feel like that at times it'd be, like, hard to express. But then, like, when I went through this whole process, it's easier for me, like, shit, like, if I'm going through some shit, if I got to just like shed a few tears, like just for like me to get it off, like that's what I got to do in order to like get up and then just, I shed them tears and then like, I'm back on it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it just made me like be a little bit more like vulnerable, you know what I'm saying? Be able to express myself a little bit better in everything. Like when it comes to my emotions and everything.
No, so me that. Definitely. I feel like vulnerability in a place is a place where at times we can feel our lowest, but in the same time, it is the place where we can grow. And right. It just keeps having me think to the beginning of like our conversation where SMP, Strive and Prosper. And I asked you, like, was this company started in the midst of like you going through your darkest storm? And I feel like you kind of like, we're like, no, I just was working. But I feel like everything that you described in your journey has been striving and prospering.
Right.
And so like, it's your company. I don't know. I'm asking you, but I feel like just listening to you and hearing your story, not only does your brand alone, S&P, Strive and Prosper, it means something, but I truly feel like hearing your story today is like, you embody your brand, striving and prospering, that like at your darkest moments, that like, you know, when they telling you complete and then you hear incomplete, and then you're able to like, you know what, you learning empathy, you being able to at your darkest moments, being able to recognize like, I've got to allow my mom to live her life. I'm just an emotional being, but I feel there is definitely power in the name of your brand. And for me, it's more inspiring knowing your story, not knowing that you have strived and you are currently prospering.
Right. And you're right. Like it is like the brand, like this is a brand, and this brand is like what the brand is me basically. Cause I wouldn't rep nothing that I feel like, it doesn't represent me. And Striving and Prospering, it's like you said, it represents me, what I went through, and then just as I'll keep going, you know what I'm saying? So I agree with everything you said right there.
Yeah, no, I think your story is inspiring. And I think that, you know, there is always truth in our stories and our vulnerability. And I feel like at times for me, sometimes we say ego, but ego really is our pride, and it's not really wanting for us to reveal our truths or reveal our stories that sometimes holds back our blessings. But I definitely think I'm so happy that you reached out to me for interest in coming on the podcast. I'm truly honored, but I definitely just think that there is power in our stories and for us to strive and for us to prosper. I think that it is amazing. Now, although to others, we may be looking like we're prospering, but you know, we may be saying to ourselves, we're not where we want to be.
Right.
Right. But that's still striving. Like, you know, like I feel like strive and prosper isn't just
you want better. It's like, you're striving to have better. And it's like,
it's an ongoing process. Yeah, you might strive and prosper to get a car, but that doesn't mean that like, okay, now I have my car. That means it's done. Now I got to strive for something else. And I feel like now I'm bad at different things, but I feel like it's not a noun. I feel like it might be a verb, an action thing.
It's like what Nip said, it's a marathon, you know?
Right. Like, it's not a race. Okay. Yeah. Okay. What you know about little Nipsey Hussle?
I fuck with Nip, man. Like, he's my motivation. Like, just seeing like what he was able to do, have his own brand, have his own store. That's motivation. And to see where he come from and to see where he made it, that's the motivation for me to just like go hard. He left the blueprint. So
I'm a follower. And I definitely have so much respect and admiration for Nipsey Hussle. But at times I feel like it is that story of the black man that they want to strive and they want to get out and make a new lane for themselves. And because of their past history, at times they're only respected or admired in death. And I feel like as a Black man, to strive and prosper is something that, like, we don't take heed to, or we don't respect. We don't, you know, I do feel like in this industry and just this field, that there isn't enough, like, Black men to Black men showing each other love and opening the door and just, you know, just being able to strive and having someone else see that and say, you know what, you're motivating me. I want to strive to prosper. Again, I love the name and the inception of your brand, and hearing your story just makes me want to support it so much more. And that's why I'm truly honored to have you on the podcast to be able to tell your story, because I feel like this is what the inception of this segment, the Purple Pants promotion, was to do, to highlight Black entrepreneurs out here striving and prospering. I feel like I might need to change the name of the segment to the Purple Pants promotion to Purple Pants Strive and Prosper. I'm just being honest to any of the listeners and the Purple Pants posse that's listening. Like, if someone was interested in getting a hat or getting some socks, where would they be able to find Strive and Prosper?
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram at SMP_2013, and also online as well. I'm gonna send you the website so you can put it up, but the website is definitely, I took it down so I can add more pictures and more stuff to it, but it's definitely coming back up by Monday. It will be back up. So,
okay. Well, the podcast comes out Tuesday. So listen, I feel like the posse will be in store, because by the time the podcast comes out, it'll be out. So the name of your Instagram is SNP_2013. Okay. And there is a link in the bio that they can click to check out some of this amazing merchandise that I'm trying to check out right now, but I can't. But by Tuesday, I'll be able to check it out. And
did you get the socks I had? I sent you. How did you like them?
I did get the socks. They are very comfortable. And, you know, I've been waiting for us to schedule this interview so that, you know, because I'm a runner, so I like to run and, you know, I like to show my legs off. So I like, you know, so I've been waiting for this. So the next time that I go for a run, I definitely will be wearing my SNP socks, so I will be able to share with the posse. But also, I want to get some more socks. I want to see what is popping for, what it's hitting for. And I love hats, so I definitely want to support the hats. And if there's anything that someone can take away from this interview or the SNP brand before we close out, what would it be?
Just continue to strive in life. Like whatever you want to do, just do it. Like, don't let nothing stop you. Don't let us, family, yourself, like, just keep growing. As long as you put that work in, it's going to eventually happen. You know what I'm saying? That's how the universe works. You put positive energy out there, you put that work in, it's going to come back to you. So just got to keep, like, striving in life, you know? So that's what I would give to the people. Just keep striving. Don't let nothing stop you. Got it.
We appreciate that. And it is a marathon and not a race. Thanks. Justin Tiff, the creator of Strive and Prosper SMP, I am truly honored to have you on the podcast. And listen, maybe you can come back and we can talk more. When there is a new launch of new product, I would definitely love to have you back. But truly, thank you so much for
coming. I would love to be back. I would love to come back to the podcast. And I appreciate you for giving me this opportunity and everything. So, and then you continue to keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing great things. I see you.
Well, I appreciate you so much, my good Black brother. It's giving SNP, Strive and Prosper. And this has been your Purple Pants Promotions.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week, and I'm excited about this week's Freak of the Week. This amazing human being has not released a studio album since 2016. Lemonade. That's right. This week's Freak of the Week is Beyoncé. She is releasing her new studio album, Renaissance, this Friday, July 29th. We've known about it for a month. She's been ramping up the promotion. We know Beyoncé is normally used to dropping surprise albums in the middle of the night. Then you wake up, you got a Beyoncé album, but it seems she is going back to the old music industry days where you're giving the album promo. We haven't seen a video yet for Break My Soul, but listen, they announced the track listing for her upcoming album, and listen, it sent the internet into a whirlwind. I am just excited for this album, Renaissance. She released the track listing, I'm That Girl, Cozy, Alien Superstar, Cuff It, Energy, Break My Soul, Church Girl, Plastic Off the Sofa, Virgo's Groove, Move, Heated, Thick, All in Your Mind, America Has a Problem, Pure / Honey, and Summer Renaissance. 16 songs Beyoncé is giving us. And we do know this is part one, volume one, Renaissance. And so I am excited. So listen, I had to say, you know what? Beyoncé, Giselle Knowles, Carter, you are this week's Freak of the Week. I am ready for the weekend so I can get into this album. I don't know if it's going to be all dance, like, you know, Break My Soul and how Drake did. But listen, I know Beyoncé delivers with a jam, so I am excited. And Beyoncé, we are ready for Renaissance. You are this week's Freak of the Week. If Beyoncé, Giselle Knowles, Carter is this week's Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing episode. Purple Pants Posse, you know your baby boy. Appreciate you for always listening and showing so much love and support. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, you can find the Purple Pants Podcast. Make sure you hit subscribe. Make sure you write a review. Make sure you give your baby boy some 5 stars. And don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend to fill me up. Cause it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.